Everybody, I'd like to welcome everybody to our special meeting. Today is July 7th, 2023. It is now 9 a.m. We're going to open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the opportunities that we have to come and do the work of the people of the township. We ask that you be with us and be with this meeting and guide us. Amen. Open in pledge. Would you lead us in pledge, sir?
Sure. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And ma'am, did I, in my opening, did I say 9 a.m.?
You did, I
okay,
believe.
Just for the record,
yes,
I wanted to make
sure. Yes, it's always good just to reiterate.
I'm trying to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Roll call, please.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And is James excused?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Old business. To approve, and I did, was I correct on what I emailed you yesterday on the minutes, the difference between chairperson and chairman? I didn't know which was the correct way.
Well, the reason that I changed it to chairperson is when I was doing because we have a software system that helps with grammar,
okay, gotcha.
And it come back with a warning and says, we are not being, this position is gender specific,
okay,
and we
gotcha.
Should be...
Okay.
And partial.
That was
and
the first
so,
time I saw it, and
yeah.
Then I seen chairman.
Right, on the
previous vice chairman.
Ones.
No, right. No, vice chairman.
Mm-hmm.
But then it said chairperson.
Right.
So if that's how grammar is, it's fine with me.
It's
I just
didn't
I
think
see it.
That we need to be inclusive of everyone.
Okay.
And I know the world's changing.
Yep.
You know, so.
It was different. I didn't
right.
see that.
I understand.
And that's why I had a question mark. I'm like.
No, it's
okay.
fine. And
I didn't know if
we
you
didn't put,
did them or someone else.
No,
I mean,
I didn't.
It just. But it was, everything was good.
Yeah.
Everything like
and
that.
I did not put those minutes on this approval.
Okay.
Because that was not enough time for you guys to
gotcha.
Review. So
okay.
There's still time to discuss.
So old business, and thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Approve meeting minutes for June 9th, June 15th, special meeting, and June 15th, regular meeting. And I'll reiterate June 9th, and it was a special meeting. If there's no questions in regards to the meetings, I would ask for a second for passage.
Yeah, I'll second those meetings.
Hearing that, I ask for a roll call when ready, ma'am.
Okay, John.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
And Jim's excused. Thank you.
Okay.
You might, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Chairman.
Sir.
You might make a note that Jim is
yes.
absent.
Yes, we did at the
no,
beginning,
okay.
sir.
Okay.
We've got that. New business. Do you want to take over here, sir, and introduce or...
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Jeff, you okay? Wait a couple minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
Did I skip over something?
No, you're fine. We have a presentation today from Craig Moncrief, representing the property owner at 771 Harrisburg Pike, regarding some a new business going in. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Proposed
yeah, so.
New business.
Yeah, proposed new business. So I'm here with Mark Gray. He's actually in contract to purchase the property.
Okay.
With the
okay.
idea being he has a due diligence period to go through the entitlements. So this property here, this will probably help out a little bit. If you
yes, sir. The floor is yours, Craig.
Yeah, I'll put it right here for now. But this area in black is 771 Harrisburg Pike. So if you for familiarity, this is a daycare right here. Dentist's office right here, and then you've got this, I'll call it kind of a flag lot because most of it is to the rear, so to speak. And I drove by it today, I'll be honest, it's not looking too pretty. There's not much going on here. There's a cell tower right here, old concrete pad back here. And what Mark's looking to do is he has a construction cleanup business, and he's got his main operations already off of McKinley. And he's looking for a lay down yard, essentially an area where he can do storage, bring trucks and trailers, store some equipment, things like that there. So he thought this would be a great site. Put a building kind of over this concrete pad area since it's already there, provide better access to the cell tower and kind of position certain spots on the property to have open storage of his equipment. Big thing, and we've worked with Patty. We went to the Southwest Area Commission twice, and big thing with them was adding landscaping because right now it's not exactly the nicest spot. Well, here's first a kind of an overview of the area. right here is the property. To give you an idea of what's around it, this is a pretty big truck yard, and their property actually goes all the way back here. So they could, it's in Columbus, it's zoned industrial, so they could expand all the way through here. So you've got kind of similar type of industrial buildings, flex warehouse office type of structures in the area. So we worked with the Southwest Area Commission to make sure we kind of hit all of their points. One of the big things was landscaping. As you can see, this is the view of the property from the road, from Harrisburg Pike right now. Really goal being would be to add some fencing, add some trees, some landscaping, make it a better site from the frontage, and then also add some trees to protect, or you know, buffer the property from the neighbors. There are some residential properties to the north up here. So here, this is the site plan for what we're looking to do. As you can see here, the building would be right here, kind of matches the concrete pad. Add extensive trees here to kind of buffer from adjacent properties. Also add a pretty good amount of landscaping along Harrisburg Pike. Shrubs, things like that, trees, make sure it's set back, and then limit where he can do open storage. So right here would be the trailers, and these boxes would be for equipment, things like that. That way it's not all over the place. It's not right up on the road. It's not by any adjacent properties, things like that. So we worked with the Area Commission to kind of establish this. They approved it. They really liked the design and what he had in mind. We also talked to, this is a dentist office right here. We talked to the dentist. He liked the idea of kind of cleaning this property up, to be honest. He liked the idea of having somebody back there. That way it's kind of not just vacant land. So he was very supportive. Kind of a weird property where it's horseshoe shaped. So this daycare is part of the property. So one of the things would be hopefully to kind of fence this off, maybe even split off this property to make it two parcels. That way it's not, you know, right now I think any cell tower truck goes through this area to back there. Idea would be just come down here, kind of keep her two separate sites. So that's what Mark's looking to do. We filed applications with the county. We're going before the BZA on the 17th. So looking for, really to see if you have any questions or see if we can get a letter of support, because I think this is a good benefit to Harrisburg Pike and will help liven up the area and bring a good business too.
How long have you owned the property?
This property right here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to buy it.
They
wanted me to buy it first for $400,000. And then try to get to zoning. I said, nope, I want to get to zoning first. So I'm going to have about $50,000 involved in this. And if I don't get to zoning right, then I'm out to $50,000. We're going to do an EPA report. Phase one, phase two is done. They didn't find nothing. It's all good, but that was $15,000 total. Then lawyer fees to get this done. That's money.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do it first. They want me to buy it first. I said, no, let me do the due diligence.
Sure.
And I'll put the trees in. I'll put the brand new landscaping in. The fencing in, whatever fencing you guys need. I will make it offset like 100 feet so the semis can be completely off the road before they even come into my gate. The gate will be set back so the semi and the trailer will be completely off the road to get in, because I just want a place to drop some semi trailers. I run a scrap yard, so obviously I got a lot of equipment, but sometimes you don't have it all out.
So you have the scrap yard there in Valley View.
Valley View.
Yes.
Yep. So I've owned it 11 years now.
Yeah.
I've cleaned it up. It's all completely done. We do.
I'm familiar with that. I know John Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know John.
Yeah.
I know John. And we do exactly what we need to do. And this property right here, like I said, right now, we got a box down there because Randy Nestor called me last week and he has illegal dumping down there right now. So we set a box down there last Saturday. He cleaned it all up. We're going to dump it today. So all that we'll cease as soon as I get it, because there'll be lighting down there, alarm systems down there. Believe me, they will be able to see this property, and we will be patrolling it, and there will be safety features in place.
So one of I had a ton of questions in regards to that, understanding and knowing your property. I've been there before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've seen what you've done with it. I think it was your father that had it before you.
Oh no, Randy Topolowski, they had it since 1960 there.
Yeah.
And I bought the scrapyard off of Topolowski.
Okay. Yeah, because was it called Toppies before?
Toppies.
Yes.
Yep.
And of course you have the tracks right there. Mm-hmm. A lot of issues that could be with security, and that was going to be my biggest thing with this, and etc. And you said the 100-foot setback. Are semis ever going to sit out front?
No, no, no. I just get them off the road so the gate can open. It'll be an electric gate. But they're completely off the road. Instead of, you see some people, they build things and you've been through it too on Harrisburg Pike and you got to go around the semi because they didn't offset it enough.
Right. So in the middle of the road.
So you got 20 or 30 feet of the semi in the road
trying
to open the gate to get in. Mine's going to be completely inside before the gate. So I'm giving up some real estate, but it's for safety.
Right.
So I want that truck and semi completely on my property, then the gate open, then they can go inside.
So that we've seen exactly what you're saying in that regards, and that definitely makes a huge difference. We are wanting to change this to what zoning?
It's not changing zoning. It's a conditional use application.
Okay.
So it's in the community service district.
Okay.
Which has permitted uses are gas stations, high-end commercial, more intense commercial rather, auto shops, things like that.
Gotcha.
And then there's conditional uses, which has light industrial type of uses. Anytime you have storage involved, it kicks it into the
Absolutely.
Industrial.
Plus our fire, everything like that for vehicles we have to inspect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever intend to want to put to do the same thing your salvage there as
no,
well?
No, absolutely not. No. That's a whole different game.
Okay.
And you wouldn't be allowed.
Wouldn't be allowed to take a scrapyard down there now with the new rules.
It would only allow storage, warehousing.
Right.
It wouldn't allow like impounding or.
No.
So, if you were, Mr. Horn, if you remember, I'm going to take you back a little bit. You were on then. I remember that you came to a meeting and where they are. You know where they're at in Valley View? I say Valley View, but it's really on. You're in city there, though, aren't you?
I'm in Franklin Township.
Okay, I didn't know it because I know one side
Highland
of the street.
Avenue really is only a block long.
Right.
It's only from the railroad tracks to the end of the curve. And then it turns into Valley View.
One of the things that you did that still resonates with me, and you may not remember this or you may, they have a lot of people that push the carts up and down through there for scrap.
Sure.
He was willing to pave out of his own pocket to one side, like where the bike trail is, so that they would be on the safe side of that versus trying to go up through the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember being at a Valley View meeting and stuff, and for whatever reason, they looked a gift horse in the mouth thinking, you know, that would have been a perfect thing that you were offering to them. So that was impressive that you were willing to do something like that beyond your property. It's impressive that you're coming to us and saying that you're going to have a 100-foot set off because obviously you've been stuck behind semis or you understand that.
It happens on Harrisburg Pike every day.
So it does show that you're willing and wanting to be a good neighbor.
Absolutely. Safety is number one.
Right.
I mean, you got to do safety and the clean up, but it definitely look good. I want to put a lot of lighting down there. I want to put cameras down there, alarm systems in the building. I got a cell tower on my property too. They got access on the other side. The cell tower have access through that electric gate. I have the code. They can go down there and inspect, do what they have to do with their cell tower 24/7. I have no issue.
So the only other thing I would ask, and not without standing or looking, with the lighting, is it going to impede or is it going to be intrusive to a neighbor?
Lighting? I would definitely do what you guys tell me to do.
I just don't know what neighbor. Now, I know that the dentist is out front. I can recall that, but I know Ransburg's way too far from there, right?
Right, but these are houses in Columbus, which are going to be to the north of the property, which is going to be closer towards Central, like going towards Central Point.
Yeah.
Their house. But actually, that street, if I'm not, and correct me if I'm wrong,
they're lighting anyways.
But that is Township Road right there.
Okay.
That's next to the bar, am I correct?
I think so.
That is a town, I think it's called Central Avenue, not Central Downtown.
Right. It's just only like
it's a little side street.
Eight houses,
and those are Township residents that could be impacted if that lighting is shining on their bedroom window at night.
Yeah.
So
no,
we just have to make.
It'll be inside. It's not going to be overbearing. It's not going to be a football field.
It's not like a sheet when you pull up.
It's going to be low lighting that just. So when we come,
we just don't want other residents coming down here later on saying.
In the winter times, you come in, you need some type of line to be able to see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all it is.
That would be the one thing that I would think that you'd want to, because most of the people, a lot of places in the township, since we don't have street lighting, etc., they're used to it being dark. I know your area. I mean, you were the only street light.
I paid for it all those years.
Yeah. And when it's dark, it's dark.
Yeah.
But when you then start having other businesses come in, I would just be reminded to be respectful to
absolutely
the other people, but yet you still need lighting so that it doesn't theft and everything
no,
else that goes on.
No, it ain't gonna be big street lights or nothing like right, that. It's right. Just gonna be some lights, you know, just to brighten it up a little bit, that's all.
I'm guessing the building's gonna shield almost all the lighting. From
yeah, because they do have, my second thing is I know at one time one of my neighbors put up a street light and they had the arm coming backwards. Their bedroom is way over here. Mine is right here, and they put it backwards. It would just light up my night, light up my room. They end up putting a shield on it. AEP came out and put a shield, so most of the light went one direction. So I know that that's always an option. Just myself experiencing the light, as they say, trespass your light to someone else's property. Some people may like the light because it lights up their backyard. They can see more. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. I just know that that could be a contingency. With that said, Mr. Jeff, you had some.
A couple questions. It appears you have a property line running over the concrete pad that's there.
Where are you looking?
Oh,
right
here. Triangle?
Yes.
So he's buying.
The triangle comes with it.
Yeah, he's buying this chunk
okay.
from this property.
I get that triangle as long as I do the due diligence with the lawyer and I pay all the fees to get that. And that will be flipped over in this zone. Okay. I just have to do the due diligence, pay the lawyer fee and everything, and I get that piece of triangle.
Gotcha.
That's outlined there. I get that with this piece of property.
Okay. So, and then, would that be all one parcel then eventually, or are you going to break
it? Yeah, it'll all be combined.
Okay.
Yeah,
it just makes sense. I think I have my answer from what you've talked or presented here, but I'm going to ask for clarification anyways. It sounds as if you have no intentions of this property being annexed to Columbus. Is that correct?
No, not that. No, absolutely not.
You're gonna stay in the township.
Yeah, absolutely not. I want in the township.
You already have a business.
No. Okay.
I have a question. If it's okay, I'll wait for you guys.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It seems. I'm lost. I'm totally lost here. And number one, that this is the first I've heard on any of this. So, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking. Okay, 771, the physical address, 771 Harrisburg Pike.
That's down there close to where you get to almost the gas station at Central Point.
Okay.
And the reason you can pass it, if you blink your eye, because, can you turn back to the...
Ralph, do you remember the old bowling alley? Old bowling alley. It's going to be just north of the bowling alley in the rear.
Okay.
Like the drive he's showing.
So it's on the west side of 771.
Correct. It's going to be, as you're driving this way, it's going to be on the west side.
Where the building is, which they now have a food market.
Right, it's going to be just to the north of that.
Just to the north.
Yeah, you're going to pass that
so
building.
So essentially where it is there right around where AEP is.
Just down from
it's
that.
It's going to keep going.
Keep going. You're in the right ballpark.
Mm-hmm. You know where Brown's Tires is?
Right across the street.
You know where Lonnie Brown Tires?
Yeah.
Right across the street from Lonnie.
Yep.
To the right. If you're looking at him,
we'll
right
go
to
that
right.
way.
Okay.
He's right across the street from that old bowling alley,
okay.
I believe.
Yep, it's the old bowling alley, so you just need to go
right.
a little bit north.
Here's my question was, why are we talking about Valley View?
Well, the reason he owns the shop in Valley View, that Mark Gray, the recycling.
Okay.
And
okay.
He's an existing business owner,
Mark,
sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Mark.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I'm Mark Gray,
okay.
Enterprise, on the scrapyard.
And he is in
Valley View. So you're just doing some comparison with Harrisburg Pike as to Valley View.
Well, he's wanting to.
Is that why you're talking all this
right? Right. Yeah. The reason I brought up Valley View is because the way that he kept his business there.
Okay.
And he is in the township in that sharp curve.
Okay.
Now he's wanting to buy this property, and it says a lot.
Predicated on the zoning variance has been passed.
Right. But what he wants to do is be able to have a safe place to store his equipment.
Okay.
And he wants to put good greenery. He wants to make it look nice compared to what it looks like now.
Yep.
He wants to offset the fence going in 100 feet so that when you have semis or something coming in, they're not holding up traffic.
Yep.
So what he's proposing to us sounds very good because most people don't go above and beyond.
Sure sounds on the surface, it does, yeah.
Right.
Now, the other question I have you sat through a couple of meetings on this or have you seen a meeting on this before? Okay, two.
I did the original applicant and this applicant.
Okay.
And the comparison is apples to oranges. I think even the first applicant, Steve, went out and did a site visit because what they had wanted to do was put barrels of stuff at the back property line, which was so close to homes behind that.
Okay.
And we really weren't, it's just a whole different vibe. This gentleman, he's willing to do whatever we want. It's apples and oranges. We have absolutely no problem. We're thrilled that, you know, he wants to spiffy up the place for us, including the greenery that the Southwest Area Commission is so into. And we have no problems either with the fact, in comparison, that they're so close to a daycare.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to place a daycare.
The daycare would be down by where the dental place is. Okay.
The daycare is on the same property.
Okay, gotcha.
And one of our issues with the initial applicant was if we said we were afraid if we were too negative regarding what they wanted to do, it could force them, because they owned the property of the daycare, say bye-bye to the daycare.
Okay. They were afraid to lose the daycare.
I don't have any reservations at all about this.
Okay, then, so it's been before the Area Commission, Southwest Area Commission.
The original applicant came last year. This applicant came last month.
Okay. Well, okay, so all the property that you're of your interest is located in Franklin Township.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we gotta go to the county, BZA on the 17th.
There's a reason for me asking all these questions, really, leading up to this. Now, so I think that you should be probably talking to the so-called Rural Zoning Commission.
This goes before the BZA.
Okay. So this is a pre-meeting. Is that what we're looking at here?
We wanted the blessings.
Now, Franklin Township, that has to go through any township. You probably know that already, but it has to go to various zoning boards in the county, of course.
Yeah, so the way this application works, it's not a rezoning. If it was a rezoning, we would go through the Rural Commission. They've got a Planning Commission and then the Board of Commissioners. This just has to go before the BZA, Board of Zoning Adjustment. But obviously, we want to do our part with the neighborhood.
There's nobody in
so, there.
Somebody should have shut that door.
So we wanted to do our part, just make sure the neighbors were fine with it.
The lady is out right now.
I apologize. She thought we were trying to get her to go to the window, and she thought she'd go right in. But go ahead. My apologies.
No, yeah, just saying that we wanted to have these meetings with the Area Commission and the Township, mainly to just make sure.
Looking for approval, Ralph, that we would think that this would be of good use for the township.
Gotcha. I want to get my head squared away.
Yeah.
Basically what you're doing is you're laying work saying, if we will do this, if the township, will not oppose it or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like going to meetings where 20 people show up.
Well, the thing is, I want you to understand now, we cannot, it has to go through a zoning, just like you went through, you did your leg work really with the Area Commission here. You went, you sought, you got information, and you got approval from the Area Commission that they think it's a real good idea, which that has a lot of bearing with the way we think, and, you know, because they are the area residents as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why. Okay. That's why we.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because we're going. Knock on wood. We're hoping for final approval on the 17th, and in my dealings, if you know, the township says they like it and the area commission says they like it, that goes a long way.
So I have one more question for Ms. Watkins. Had a question.
Yeah, I'll try to make them brief because I think you're going to be quick answers. Are you planning to put any signage on Harrisburg Pike to show your new business in this area? Not a new business at the township, but a new business to the area. Are you considering that at all?
No. I mean,
I was just curious.
No, because it's just going to be a lay down yard for me. My guys are going to know where it's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, we'll probably get some people wanting to know what it is at some point down the road.
I can put signings up if that's what you guys want me to do.
I just asked Scott. That's nothing about our. It's not a request, but just being from the area, you know. And then this is kind of a twofold because I heard you say the daycare is on your property, but I've not heard you say the daycare will stay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then with that being your answer, you talked about a barrier between your property and them. How about noise as far as like during the day when the children are doing activities and or napping or whatever they're doing? Are you going to have anything within that barrier that maybe helps sound barrier to the kids? Have you thought about it?
Absolutely. We could do that.
Okay. I'm not saying you have to. No. These are just, you know.
Well, a little bit of background about me. I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years. I just went to North Carolina yesterday. By Monday, my boy just picked up Gunny. Been in 15 years. But I'm here for you guys. It's not about me. It's about you guys.
I was just thinking the daycare.
I can take care of you guys and my company can take care of everything else. I want to satisfy the people above me. I want to make it look beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it functional. I want to make it safety. And I want to take care of it. And everything else will fall in place.
Absolutely.
I think there's a wood fence there now.
Yeah.
If not, I know we're committing to it. And I believe there's also going to be a row of shrubs.
Okay. I was just thinking, I don't know what the age of these children are, but I would imagine they have a nap time or they have a quiet time.
Yeah.
And if you've got trucks going beep, beep, you know.
And I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Just keeping that in your mind. Not saying that you've got to rush out and build a wall. That's
the,
not.
The whole area is asphalt.
Yeah.
And in an ideal world, we'd all say, let's rip that up, put some greenery between the two to buffer the sound and the fumes.
Right.
But that's expensive.
So right. So I was just asking him to consider as he begins to, you know, develop and you start putting things into place and you now have a visual.
Absolutely.
Then you're like, oh, now we've got children over here.
And talking to them and see what their needs is. And
okay. Well, I appreciate that just because. It sounds like you want to be a good neighbor and a good steward, and I'm just thinking these families depend on the daycare,
and
you know.
That's the reason I say situation, Mr. Chairman, what probably you need to do. Have you reached out to Matt Brown?
Yeah, so we've got everything filed, and we're going to the BZA on the 17th.
Okay.
So that's... Everything's there.
Okay.
So I think we can wrap this up. I have one last question.
Okay.
I think I know the answer to this. Because how long have you been in the township now?
11 years.
Do you intend to keep that or annex it into the city?
No, it's going to stay with me.
Okay.
We would have started that by now.
Right. But, you know, the problem is, it's not a problem. We see later in life, people then annex for different reasons into the city. Mm-hmm. And every time we lose a little bit of business, all the taxpayers have to pay a little bit more.
Yep.
We do have something as a recourse maybe later on that we have a township-wide levy that we can put on. And it's basically that the public would be able to vote yes or no. And it goes back to if people annex like the casino, and we use them, they're the biggest. They would be paying our fire and police portion of our, so that we don't keep losing.
No.
But we don't know if we've attempted it once, but it was misconstrued. But I always say it behooves of people to want to annex because we have that card if we play it.
Yeah.
But I do thank you for coming in. And what I'm going to do, I wish we were short one person, but hearing what I'm hearing, I'm confident and be able to ask for a motion of support.
Right.
for your business. If there's no further question on this subject matter.
Just one other statement I'll make.
Sure.
And we can close up. I do sit on the rules on the board.
Yes.
Okay. So I know it's prudent or required that you go through the zoning board. Matt Brown is the man you want to see to get the meetings and so forth set up.
Oh, yeah.
And you're a very wise man. Getting your pre-zoning done before you stick out $50,000 or something like that.
I know.
I would do what you're doing if it were me, so.
That's
what needs to be done. Patty, this is just for your information. Since it is in the township and so forth and so on, that is the zoning board that it goes to, is the Franklin County Rural Zoning Board. Okay? I don't even know if you've heard of that one yet or not, but appreciate what you guys have done on that too, you know. Now, what may be required, I would ask for Mr. Brown and those guys too, tell them it has been before the Southwest Area Commission. And ask, since you're familiar with them, ask for a letter of support if you feel free.
Did a letter of support, and I think my answer was they have nothing before us yet.
Okay. Well, that means that you hadn't.
But I'm willing to do another one, and it also include my involvement here with the.
Your letter of recommendations, John, does mean a lot when they go through the board.
Oh, yeah.
But if you guys, if you have worked a little bit with Steve, Steve knows what I'm talking about here. And you guys can maybe talk about that a little bit.
So with that said, we have a motion on the floor, and I'm seeking a second for a letter of support for Mark Gray. For the property at 771 Harrisburg Pike.
Second.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And Jim is excused.
Yes. So we thank you guys for coming in.
Absolutely.
I'm anxious to see what it is going to look like, because it has to look better than what it looks like now.
Nice.
I wish you well, and I'm hoping that with our support as well as Patty's support, generally that goes right through with no problem, and then of course then your sale of it. But it does show good character in the way that you conduct your business in the township, as well as you're willing to put $50,000 in just to go fishing to see if we can get this done.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of investment without nothing guaranteed.
Nothing returns.
Yeah, and now are you clear on the direction to go right now?
Okay.
All good.
Got you.
Got it, okay. With that said, it is now 9:32.
Thank you.
I'm going to enter into a recess for a quick 5 minutes, and then we will resume after that.
Absolutely.
I don't have my little gavel. So it is.
Okay.
I'm leaving.
I'll give you a call there.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It is now 9:39, we're coming back into session. I want to remind everybody that this is a public meeting. Questions should be submitted by email to Mr. Mazur, smazur@franklin-township.com by 8 a.m. on the day of the meeting. So just as a reminder for people that may be listening to this, that for a public meeting, again, the email is smazur@franklin-township.com. Up next, we're going to move to Mr. Mazur, our administrator.
Jeff, you want to give your presentation on the proposed tax budget for 2024?
So my understanding is this is a public hearing.
Oh, yeah, this is a public hearing. It's open to the public.
On the tax budget?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In front of you, you should have a copy of the tax budget for 2024. Again, as a reminder, The purpose of the tax budget is to justify the collection of the existing property tax levies and to share or get a share in the allocation of local government money from the county.
Okay. Can you sit down here?
Would you like to sit by me?
I mean, you can. I'm
yeah, no, you're fine. I apologize.
Oh, wait, you've got okay. Some vice arrived. You can hear it too.
There we go.
So, just to run through and highlight some things that are in the tax budget, I'll start on that. But I also want to remind all of you that this is not the appropriation budget for 2024. That comes in fourth quarter of this year. This is just to get the property taxes levied.
So that'll be late, like October, November?
Yes, correct. Okay. So moving on to page one. Page one identifies estimates for property tax revenues. One change that I need to highlight or want to highlight from prior years, there is going to be a shift, we're requesting a shift 0.2 mil out of the road and bridge fund to general fund because we're having to address non-road related work by the maintenance department that cannot be charged to the road funds. Plus we need to pick up past years on the HB 50 things that have taken place that general fund has not reimbursed the road funds.
Okay, so let's just, are we talking mostly House Bill 50s issues that you're saying?
No, there's okay. Additional things, and I've got a couple of things highlighted when we get the general fund on it.
Okay.
Okay.
So at some point, will you circle back to the board to let us know those particular things so that we're
yes.
Apprised? Okay.
Yes, when I get, as I walk down through general fund, I'll
sure.
Highlight those things, okay? But I wanted to point that out. That's it's a shift of about $40,000 that would come back into the general fund to help offset non-road work by the maintenance department. And we'll address this further into the budget in the fall and get that line identified and set up in general fund so it's not being charged to the road funds, okay? Page two, the important thing here, this is a list of all your existing voted levies. I want to highlight that the 5.89 mil levy for the fire department expires in 24 next year. So you will have to, at a minimum, renew that levy next year. Page three represents what is anticipated to be the official certificate of estimated resources that the Budget Commission signs off on and provides. Purpose of the certificate is to place a restriction on the maximum amount that can be appropriated from any fund or from each fund listed in the certificate. Certificate does get amended throughout the year, so this is just a start. Okay. Again, property taxes on here are estimates. The county will revise those when they provide the official certificate.
So in other words, Mr. Wolchek,
yes.
The percentage, like say for instance, if we took any particular line item, fire levy, which if I go across, I'm looking at, I don't even know when I'm looking at, other sources, taxes, etc. So out of their budget, once this is set place, there's a set limit that you're allowed to realign for another purpose, is that
the maximum that can be appropriated in this case, if you're looking at the fire fund, based on current estimates, would be $4.1 million.
Okay, so basically that's what it takes in, so that would be the maximum, correct?
Yeah. Well, it takes in roughly $3.7 million. You have a carryover balance estimated at $409,000.
Correct.
And it's necessary to carry over a certain amount,
at least 10%.
To almost one to one and a half months worth of expenditures, because you don't get any property tax revenue until very end of January, early
right.
February.
So, but what I'm trying to do is figure out appropriated that you, with the certificate, you cannot, you know, I was looking at the percentage, 50%, 100%. You said that the appropriations could not be appropriated, you know, like for instance, if you needed to appropriate something else out of that, there's only a percentage that you're allowed to do.
No, you can do 100% of the estimated.
That's what I wanted to find out. Okay.
However, that is poor management.
Absolutely.
Because you need to have a carryover balance, and a levy is only going to last for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So, for example, a five-year levy, the first 2.5 years to 3 years, you're going to have a higher fund balance.
Correct.
And the latter 2 years, you're going to see that fund balance decline because, obviously, expenditures go up, and you're living on a fixed budget with voter property tax levy.
Totally understand. The way that you stated that was the first time I heard that, you know, basically, is there a ceiling? That's what I was just trying to find out. Like,
yes.
You said, it could be 100%, but that's mismanagement.
Correct.
So what I was thinking in my mind, have we ever went over not knowing?
No.
That's where I was at.
Well, let me rephrase that. For the time period that I've been here, no.
Okay.
In the past, you never had an appropriated budget because nobody did it. They assumed that the tax budget was the appropriated
budget,
which is false.
And this is why I want to make sure that I understand this 100%, so thank you.
So, could I interrupt just for a moment there?
Sure.
The old saying of having a rainy day fund, would it be safe to say, from an operational standpoint, that we could try or make an effort to achieve a level carryover year to year relative to saying you have a rainy day fund?
Well,
would that be a safe assumption?
Absolutely not.
It would not.
You are prohibited by law from having a rainy day fund, period.
Okay.
Now, by controlling the budget and looking out 5 years all the time, you'll see where you're headed. It's always a good idea to not fully appropriate your resources that are available for two reasons. One, you need to be able to address future periods, future years. And two, if for some odd reason there's an unforeseen occurrence or happening expenditure that comes up, you have the ability to increase appropriations to cover that.
Okay.
So we pretty much the last couple of years only appropriated maybe 85-90% of what was on the certificate for those operating funds.
Okay. Gotcha.
Trying to hold back 1.5 months worth of a budget as having cash to cover our expenditures for January.
Okay.
Thank you. So, okay. Moving on to page 5, general fund. Just a couple of quick items here. If you look, you'll see property taxes, real estate taxes. It appears that it's going up, but the purpose or the reason it's going up is because we're shifting a portion of your inside millage from road and bridge back to general fund.
So I had a question. Looking at the beginning, do we know how many people currently get homestead, and do we have a forecast of how many people are?
No, that is information the county auditor would have to have.
Okay, because I know that we have a lot of seniors in the township, but how many new seniors are coming on board, meaning that?
Can't answer that.
Okay.
Okay.
So that helps a forecast if we knew.
That's not something that ever comes out or that is
available. I understand. I'm just saying it would be nice to know, because do we know with the Homestead Act or Homestead privilege that people get, do we know the total that savings is passed on to our residents? Is it?
There is estimates on the property tax settlement sheets. It tells us how much of the
homestead.
10% rollback to 2.5% rollback in homestead will be remitted back to us from the state.
Okay, so even though the people get those homestead, the state pays us and makes us whole.
Yes, it's the state of Ohio many years ago passed legislation providing a reduction in property taxes for the rollback in the homestead.
Okay.
Homestead applies to seniors, rollback, 10% applies to everybody. I believe the 2.5% only applies to residential.
Okay.
But important piece to keep in mind with this, a few years back, the state removed homes or the rollback credits from any new levies going forward. Okay. So if a levy expires that exists,
as we
and
had.
You get a new one to for
correct,
they will pay essentially 12.5% more than they currently do.
Okay, so which is a good thing.
Well,
the people are paying 12% more, or the government?
The people will pay.
Okay,
because the state's
my apologies, I got that backwards.
Yeah. State's eliminating the credit on all new levies.
Okay,
so that's something to always keep in mind if you choose to renew versus replace. A replacement will wipe out those credits.
And a renewal new one will keep the credits.
Yes. Disadvantage to, a renewal will keep the credits, but the disadvantage is you're not getting an increase of any kind by renewing a levy.
Okay. And I think in theory, if you look at it from the government's point of view, in 20 years, very little credits will be out there because as inflation comes, you're going to need new levies.
If memory serves me right, the rollbacks came into existence somewhere late 70s or 80s, and it dealt with an inflation period where property taxes went, or property values went way up, so the state was trying to
offset
a little bit, but it also brought in the reduction factors on a levy, which makes a voted levy essentially fixed income.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I was just kind of curious for our township, and I'm glad I brought this up because I didn't realize that the township was essentially made whole on those rollbacks and on that. But I'm just curious how much that we get from the government to make us whole.
Well, if you look at just general fund, in 23 we're getting $5,800 on homestead rollback.
Okay.
When you look at the other levies, you'll also see property tax allocation,
Which
is the homestead and rollback, identified in each of the funds that receives property taxes. So I'll give you an idea overall how much it is.
Okay. It's not as much as what I thought it was going to be.
Well, this is only general fund.
That's a good point.
When you get to the police and fire and road
then
and bridge,
it's different.
Road and bridge doesn't amount to a whole lot, but your police and fire levies, it's quite a lot.
Okay.
Good wages.
Yeah. So one other thing I want to point out, because in past years, as you're well aware, interest rates were almost non-existent.
Right.
So one of the things working with Nick last year that we got set up and happening is a portion of the cash that is not needed for daily operations got moved over to Star Ohio. Star Ohio is essentially a money market mutual fund for local governments only. And it's currently somewhere around 4.5%, thereabouts. So if you look at the earnings on investments, so far this year, we're looking at picking up at least $30,000 additional revenue in general fund. And next year, because there's no indication that interest rates are gonna go down right now, should hit maybe $45,000.
So in essence, you earned your pay.
Yes.
Because this is something that we were not doing.
Correct.
That we can continue to do in the future. And the investment that the board has made in you, spending the taxpayers' dollars, has actually came back.
Yes. Sure. So, okay. Down on the expenditure side, the administration covers the trustees, the administrator, and the fiscal office. That is the biggest portion of general fund. If you move on down the page a little bit where it says public safety, fire protection, that essentially is the repair on fire hydrants. That is not allowable expenditure for your fire levy fund. Okay. Overall, it hasn't been too bad, but the last couple of years, it's actually gone up quite a lot. And I think you run between, I want to say $5,000-$6,000 per occurrence on a hydrant repair.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of those don't we also, hopefully, if we catch the people, we get that back through insurance.
Yes.
We get a percentage of it after the deductible. Yeah.
But, yeah, as you said.
After the deductible.
Gotta catch them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you go down the page a little more, under public works, highway, other expenditures. What's there is that's already a portion of non-road related work that the maintenance department does. And it's predominantly right now brush cleanup and the disposal of it. And a good example is the tree and brush removal. That cannot be paid for out of the road funds. I do expect an increase there because we got to play catch up for a few years. And we need to look and see what's really happening in the budget portion of the road department into the general fund for non-road work. I don't have a good feel for how much right now, but I'm a little concerned because the audit has brought this up and feels that even the HB 50 is not covering it. That's supposed to be getting reimbursed. The other thing that comes back into play here is maintenance of storm water, storm sewers. That cannot be paid for out of your road funds, so it becomes a general fund item.
And we have done that before, though, haven't we? I recall that.
Yes.
So what about anything associated with it, like our cameras that we buy for checking out the storm sewers and anything associated with that?
Cannot be used in road funds. I'm sorry, the road funds cannot pay for it.
Gotcha.
Now, that said, your catch basins along the road, on the curbs, those can be maintained and repaired with road funds.
Okay.
I'm talking about your storm water lines that exist off the roads, away from the roads.
So any repairs, any replacement, like we just had one with four roots, and then we had to go buy 15 feet, 20 foot, whatever it was.
Yes.
So that would be out of the general fund?
Correct.
Okay, because it's basically a hard good of the township, so the general fund takes care of that.
Something that you may want to think about going forward on this, it just crossed my mind on it because last night I had a meeting where we just implemented a storm water utility and a storm water fee. Columbus already has it in existence, but there is a fee based upon
square footage of
and those dollars come in. If you were to implement that fee, could be used to maintain your storm sewers.
Yes.
Now I don't know how much of a problem you have on a lot of the properties in the township with storm water runoff or
just our age. Like for instance, we had a person for 10 years that had been having issues, and finally we used a camera and ran through it and found the problem.
Yes. So, anyways, I don't know how much of a problem you really have with your storm water in here in the township. But
it's just aging.
That's a thought for down the road.
Gotcha.
Page five, one of the other big expenditures that occurs, you contribute to the cost of operating the general health district for Franklin County. It's a statutory apportionment that occurs from their budgets to the townships and villages. Most cities have their own health departments, so they don't get charged. And it's collected through the property taxes. Debt service. Several years ago, you approved a lease purchase on a fire truck. 2024, I believe.
$97,000.
Yes, it's $97,000, but I believe that's the last payment on it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and again, general fund was the only fund that had the ability to really pay for that purchase. Nowadays, a fire truck is $750,000 for just a bumper, and that might be on the low side. You start getting into some of the other ones, like a ladder truck, you're well over $1 million. And most fire levy funds cover operations, they do not cover capital. So your ability to replace these things becomes a challenge. Fortunately, most fire trucks have a 20-year life. That will become a concern down the road.
Because we've had this, 4 years?
There was one that was just recently re-chassied, if I recall it, went up to Wisconsin because there was issues with it. I want to say it was also a recall, if I recall. So that's helped. I still hear that there's still problems with another one of the fire trucks. So overall, the fire department, I have a few things to mention when I get back to the fire levy fund. Okay. General fund was looking at about 8.5% increase for next year. Again, this is going to get tweaked in the fall, but you got inflation in there that's running high. So transfers out. In 23, we transferred over $100,000 to a permanent improvement fund, looking at proposing a $60,000 transfer next year. Purpose of those dollars over in the permanent improvement fund is to replace maintenance building or for the street department, the road department. That one in the back has been condemned, as I've been told, and more recently, you got problems with the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you look at the bottom line, general fund is looking anticipated to be about $700,000 at the end of 24. That carryover balance is a little more than half of your budget for the year, so that's good. But the trend is downward on general fund, so we need to watch things going forward. And we'll take a bigger picture out 5 years in the fall with this. Okay. Motor vehicle license tax fund. And now I'm into the special funds. The only thing that gets acquired out of MVL is road salt. It gets $15,000 a year, roughly, in motor vehicle license tax revenue, and that's all it can really afford to do. Gas tax, which is page 7 now. The only thing occurring in this fund is the salaries and benefits for one employee. That's all it can afford to do. The balance is accumulating, so it can have in the future potential capital outlay for reconstructing or paving roads. Or we can shift more of the maintenance of the roads back to gas tax. I guess the one thing I want to point out for you to keep in mind, there are now going to be 6 funds that cover the operations of the road department. And splitting up the wages, benefits, and maintenance costs, capital cost is always a challenge as far as the budget goes, because we've got to balance it between 6 funds.
So when we do this and it takes care of one salary, we don't designate a name or the position.
I have.
You have? Okay. I was just curious if it just, if that was even necessary, but to keep it straight, I think it would.
When we calculate out the wages, I know exactly who gets paid what, and I look to see who can
stay within that.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's okay. Where it'd make it easier in the end versus trying to figure out later who did that cover.
And right now, it's been fairly consistent for the last few years, and it's in payroll that way.
Okay.
When we have to make a change, that is something that gets balanced out with the budget, and I'll tell you one of them when I get back a little bit further, okay?
Okay.
So, road and bridge, as I mentioned, there'll be a slight drop in the property taxes there because we're trying to address a problem that audits brought up and the HB 50 items that need to be cleaned up. This fund will receive 0.3 mil property tax. It also picks up some of the tipping fees that comes from the county. So that's in there. And John, property tax allocations for road and bridge will probably be 5,000 next year. I only reduced the property taxes. I didn't proportionately reduce the property tax allocation amount.
Now that tipping fee, do we anticipate, like, for, it seems like every time someone needs money or in the, that's the first thing that can go up. So do we anticipate, like, from year to year, or do we wait? Like, do we know what to tip? Do we usually try to guesstimate small things like tipping fees out to beyond 2024?
I do project out. Tipping fees hold somewhat consistent. I think 22 is an unusual year.
Okay.
But they're running, as you can see, in 2020 it was 14,000, but that was COVID time frame. 21, 18, 22, things opened back up, and all of a sudden we took a jump to 27.
Right, and that's where I was kind of like, okay, yeah. When you think at 14, now we're 27 and 22, and now we're back to 20.
Well,
you know, I just didn't
I'm
know
very
what.
Conservative on the estimates. I kind of look at the 4 or 5 years,
okay,
and a little bit of an average.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, this year could end up much higher, but right now we budgeted 20, and that's where things appear to be falling out.
Okay.
Okay. Again, there's only one person that is paid for out of Road and Bridge, and that's their salaries and benefits. There's really not much ability to afford it more there. Road District, which is a much newer fund and a further allocation of homes inside millage, that was something Mark picked up a few years ago, and this is an annual thing that we have to address with the Budget Commission. So it'll be another resolution forthcoming that deals with
the millage
for this one. Right now, I think it's in the vicinity of about 2.25 mils that goes in here. The bulk of dollars gets used for road paving projects,
okay,
road construction projects. There are also salaries and benefits in this fund. It picks up, I want to say, 2 employees and a couple of seasonal for the summer,
okay,
to help out with mowing of right-of-ways and other things.
So by having these different, I'm going to call them programs that help pick up the, I don't know if programs would be the correct analogy for that, but that essentially definitely helps out the township. So with that said, is there additional avenues out there that we may have not tapped into, like even if we wanted to bring on another person that actually would pick up those costs? I mean, obviously we've got the road and bridge tax. Is there another something that we could be missing?
No, you've already hit your permissive MBL fees that you're allowed. You're maxed on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 5 funds that exist and the revenue there is all that's available to you right now.
Okay.
Okay.
I just,
that said, the road department is holding quite well.
Yeah.
Okay. And the one thing that we look at every year going forward is how much can we budget for paving of roads and maintain. After all, that's the purpose of the road district.
Yep.
Okay. So one of the other things that was recently completed, there was recently completed a pavement condition assessment.
Yes.
Which looked at the overall condition of all your roads and ranked them.
Correct.
Working off of that document, you know what roads need to be addressed.
Correct.
And it gives you a better, more objective basis for which roads get attention.
Right.
That may be coming up where it's 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah. So I think we're just now starting the second year on that.
Okay. So somewhere in there, out another year, that's got to be looked at again to update.
Sure. And I think we did that through the county, if I remember right. Or was it a private company?
I think it was a private company.
Okay.
Okay.
So before we move on, I'm going to wait and let Steve have a chance to rejoin us.
Okay.
He had to do double duty and get the front.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mazur, we
basically
just went on to the road district, and we were looking at the 5 accounts or 6
yep.
accounts
yep.
Funds.
Yep.
Funds. Okay. So
sorry,
if that was explained. So
important.
We're on number 9, getting ready to go to 10.
Yes. I want to point out the debt service payment in the road district is Jetterback.
Okay.
Moving on to page 10, which is the permissive motor vehicle license tax. Again, you've already had your $3 to $4 or $5 increments that you're allowed, so that's maxed out.
Yes.
It does provide $150,000 a year towards roads.
Now, that was one of the things that I went to the county commissioners and spoke on, and it passed, so fortunately.
Well, this is a state issue, it's not a county issue.
Well, the municipal tax was at something we were allowed to get X amount more. And
there are various increments.
Yes.
Both the county has increments and the township has it.
So we were able to, I spoke on it, and it went to a vote, and they voted, and this is a couple of years ago, and where we were at to where what we were getting, we got a increase on that.
Well, the legislation you passed is actually for the state.
Okay.
And goes over to the Department of Public Safety and the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, so it gets collected.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the county really approved.
Yeah, I just know that we then received a bigger portion of the pie.
Yep, that was a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So, I want to say maybe 21?
Sounds pretty, sounds about right.
Okay, moving on. The next one, page 11, is the police levy fund. Last year, you got a rather large levy approved. It was a renewal and additional millage.
So I have a question with that. Since this is a renewal, for the is a police a new one or is it renewal?
Neither.
Okay.
You do not have a levy on or levy coming up. Last year, you had a renewal plus additional millage.
So the reason that I was asking is what we just heard earlier in the monies that come back for Homestead and et cetera, with the new levy that would not be effective.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Just to point out, your Homestead and rollback is in the vicinity of $86,000 for the, it goes to the police levy fund.
Okay.
Okay. That levy was projected to last at least 7 years. We're down to 4.
Okay.
Okay. Tough one to deal with. Minimal increase is in here for wages. I understand that you're in negotiations, so that has a big influence on this. And yeah, just to look at things going forward, there's a small amount for wage increase.
Yes, and I think they're aware of that.
Yes. So the capital outlay planned in here right now is 2 cars a year going forward. You seem to have a fleet of 12 over there. How many you really need, that's a topic for the future. But right now, you're on a cycle of replacing 2 every year. So that's roughly a 5 to 6 year life on vehicles.
Okay.
Okay. Pushing 6 is tough. 5, that's...
The maintenance outweighs the maintenance at one point.
Yep. Yep. So, police have one fund that they run out of, and that's the police levy. Okay. Fire levy. Again, I mentioned you have a renewal there that has to take place next year. There are several issues with the fire department that need to be looked at, and more than likely you will need some additional millage to go with the renewal.
Okay.
Okay. Which we can talk more about that in the fall. Your bigger issue with the fire department as a whole, and if you look at page 13, is the Fire Safer grant. Yes. That grant pays for 10 employees. The grant basically is over with first quarter of 25. And at that point, you do not have the funding to pay for those 10 firefighters.
Correct.
To hold on to them, you're looking at a potential of 5 mils.
Additional or 5 mils total?
Additional. And that's going to be in addition to whatever's necessary to cover the operations of the fire levy fund. Wow. Roughly, you have 29 employees in the fire levy fund. I'm sorry, 23 in the fire levy fund, 10 in the safer grant fund, and you have, I believe, 6 over in the EMS fund.
Okay.
Okay.
And the EMS fund, how long is that? Is the EMS fund is not necessarily time specific, that it runs out?
It doesn't get property taxes. It lives off the billings.
For the EMS billing.
I'm saying.
Services.
Yes.
Okay. Currently, we're running about $1 million to $1.1 million a year on the revenue from billings.
Okay.
And right now, that's covering 6 employees. And we set aside $130,000 a year to replace EMS vehicles.
So the biggest portion of where that comes in is also, it helps when we take those runs into the city.
It's 100% of that, yes.
Okay.
The of the revenue there.
Correct.
What will have to happen, and I need, I think it's in 2025, one employee in the EMS fund has to get shifted over to the fire levy fund just because of wage increases and benefit costs.
Okay.
Because the revenues just don't increase as fast.
I understand.
As the wages, okay?
So we're looking currently at three employees that the EMS takes care of?
EMS takes care of currently six.
The billing, EMS, the from the medic runs and et cetera, the monies, the billings.
It's $1.1 million a year.
Okay, and that takes care of how many?
Six employees, plus setting aside roughly okay. One-third the cost of a
okay.
new EMS.
So that's what I was wondering. So it takes care of six. Okay.
Yes. In the future, down in a year or so, it's only going to take care of five.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Since I've been here, we've adjusted the budget between fire and EMS by one or two employees just based upon costs.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and again, renewal for next year, got to address what's going to happen with your safer firefighters and just how many, you know, are you going to run out of one or two places? So there's long term, and it starts much sooner.
So
what are you going to do with the fire department?
So my question, one of the things that the board has talked about, we have not really moved on other than collecting information, that you heard me speak on, is a township wide levy, where that would in businesses that have annexed into the city of Columbus. One was the casino, that was one of the biggest ones. When we put this on once before, that was going to produce $1.2 million just in revenue from that one source. So not knowing what all the other entities would add to it, it could make up the difference in the $5 million. Are you able to tell me roughly what $1 million equals?
$200,000.
So 2, 4, 6, 8. So one, there you go. That makes sense.
Yes.
So how do we make up?
A word of caution. Yeah. A word of caution here. You're talking a certain type of levy. And I think you need to have a long conversation with the county auditors exactly how that's going to work.
Sure.
The other thing you need to do, you can't do one levy and somehow, some way,
I realize that. It has to be
split
each one.
It between police and
right,
fire.
I agree. Each would have their own entity as a vertical.
So
fire
there,
would have their own, police would have their own.
Okay, keep that in mind.
Yes, I read on it after we talked.
Okay.
So what you're saying though would be...
Each department would have their own.
Each department would have their own levy.
Yes.
Right, because
otherwise,
it would be one pot.
Otherwise, you're going to end up with feuding as to, I want $600,000 this year, and the $700,000 next year, and the other department are going to say, whoa, you just killed three of my employees.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A police officer runs you $120,000 to $130,000 a year, same goes with a firefighter.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So essentially, if we was to put a township-wide levy on, there would be two, one for police, one for fire. Fire may pass, police may not, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But they would be permanent, or none of them. It's up to the public for a yes and no vote.
Well, yeah.
And that's the other side. Is it a continuing levy, or is
it permanent?
5 years.
Which one? For?
Would you go for a continuing levy or a 5-year levy?
No, it would be continuing for a township wide. And
well,
then
perspectively, it would be.
Right, but if you're doing a township wide levy,
yeah.
It would behoove of us not to want to make it permanent so that every 5 years we don't run into a situation.
Ask for something else. Yeah.
Again, it's going to be a fixed income levy.
Right.
So every so many years you're going to have to ask for more.
Right, exactly. And that would become a renewal.
That would become a new levy because the continuing does not get renewed.
Yeah, I chose the bad words, but in my mind, we're renewing with asking for more, but you're correct. It would be a new levy.
Yes. So, okay. More conversation of that come fall with budget.
Yes.
Okay. And we will be looking out, and I'll have presentation of looking out 5 years.
Right.
So you can see what's happening with these operating funds that have property tax levies. On page 15 is a list of other funds. These have minor balances and minimal revenue that comes into them. The one thing I need to draw your attention to is Fund 2907, the American Rescue Plan Fund, and the money that you have sitting there. Right now, while it's planned to expend $380,000, that also just jumped up by 200 and some thousand because you canceled going forward with the purchase of the property behind you. So we're actually going to be slightly higher, or much higher there. As part of the federal bill that was passed at the federal government level, one that raised the debt ceiling, there is a clawback on the COVID money. ARP is part of COVID money. I do not know what that clawback is yet, but you have not obligated this money, so you got to get on the stick and get it done so that it does not get clawed back on you.
Correct. And we have to what time frame?
I don't know.
Okay.
My
understanding of that, we had a year and a half.
That was the old stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I thought that this money was from that error.
That is the error that's being clawed back.
Okay. I think they're separate, weren't they?
So
yeah, well, we just need to know, Ralph, essentially, if we don't spend that money, we have to give it back.
I'm hoping to.
So we don't know what date we have to do that.
I'm hoping Julie can shed more light on that. But I'm bringing it up. I know the clawback is there. I personally have not seen any more on it.
Okay.
So I don't know how it's going to work.
So we don't know the date.
Right.
Spend it or lose it.
Correct. So, two capital project funds that are listed there, permanent improvement fund. But again, those are transfers from general fund. It's money being set aside for replacing the building behind you, which houses road equipment and the road department. While money is being transferred over there, it still takes the trustees to approve how that gets spent. And the cost of your building is such that you will have to bid it.
Sure.
Okay. It's nice to be able to find things on the state term schedules so that you do not have to bid it out separately. You can work off the state term schedules, which is already things bid out at the state level, shared with local governments. I will tell you right now, there is no pole barn building contractor in that list. Okay? We've tried at the village.
Crazy.
So, page 16, right now there's only two projects identified for next year. Road paving, about $360,000 worth, but Jim works with the county, gets that taken care of. We'll see what it actually comes out to, okay? And the other one is the equipment garage for roughly $200,000. Could be more, could be less, don't know. If it's a little bit more, there are funds available in the general fund that could contribute to it, but it's not an endless pot, okay? Maybe another $100,000 or so, without a problem. List of your leases that are still in existence. You got the fire truck, the jetter vac, and the mini excavator. The original year that those were entered into, the original amount is listed. And the balance at the start of one, at start of 24, and what is to be paid in 24 is listed there. Okay. I believe the jetter vac should be done in 24. Mini excavator may have another year. I didn't get a chance to check this beforehand.
Is that
and
more of a lease?
Should be last year.
Was that more of a lease on the mini hoe or the which
all
one?
Three of them are lease purchases.
Okay.
So it's considered a capital lease.
Okay.
No, that's old terminology. It's still just
we indies. Still own it once it's done, or we could enter into a new.
You own it once it's done.
Gotcha.
Something to consider and look at. Are you better off trading that piece of equipment every 3 to 4 years
than
having maintenance agreement on it when you buy a new one, and not having to spend a ton of money to maintain it.
Well, that's always a big question in my mind.
And you may not utilize it to the extent a private
contractor, so it's still got a lot of life.
Yes, and that may bring you a nice premium on a trade.
Yeah.
Keeping your costs down for that piece of equipment over time.
Usually you lose 30% of the value in trade, so even if we sold it outright first.
Right.
Well, sometimes you get a pretty decent deal trading and going after another one.
Okay.
And I kind of speak from experience on that one with Southeastern and some other entities. Okay. But it may not work, it may work. Certainly,
usually a dealer needs to make X amount of money to resell it, which is the typical business.
Low
you buy low, sell high.
Low hours could get you a nice premium on the piece of equipment.
Or we keep it an
extra
year or two because
we,
if, like you said, low hours, hypothetically.
Yes.
Let's just say 1,000 hours is a good time to want to, you know, trade it in.
Yes.
And we have 240 on it at that time.
We barely used it then.
Exactly. So there would be no reason. Right. There'd be no reason to trade it in right away. So
should they pass that next?
You should have before you the resolution to approve the tax budget.
Yes, sir.
Ask that it gets signed. We will file this with the Budget Commission next week.
Okay.
I need to update the PDF version of this to go along with it, and we will send it off next week.
Okay.
It is required by statute to be adopted by July 15th and filed with the County Budget Commission by July 20th, so we've got time.
Okay.
But we'll get it done next week.
Okay. Mr. Mazur, would you like to read off Resolution 2023-129, or would you get, I apologize.
Yes, sir. Nope, fine. I will take care of it. As you said, Resolution 2023-129, it's a resolution to adopt the tax budget for Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, for the year beginning January 1, 2024, and to submit the same to the Franklin County Budget Commission. And whereas the tax budget for 2024 has been prepared as required by Section 5705.28 of the Ohio Revised Code. Two copies of the tax budget were on file in the Office of the Fiscal Officer for public inspection on June 26. It was made available for public inspection as required by Section 5705.30 of the Ohio Revised Code. And lastly, a public hearing was held by the Franklin Township Board of Trustees, Franklin County, Ohio, on July 7th, 2023.
With that heard, if there's no further questions, I would ask for a second.
Oh, second.
Ma'am, when you're ready.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And James, excuse. Thank you.
Mr. Horn? Okay, so moving on. Mr. Mazur?
Thank you.
Are you're finished, correct?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Going back to Mr. Mazur, do you have any additional?
I do, Chairman. I have resolutions 2023-116 through 2023-127 regarding junk vehicles and the removal. And what I will do is I will read the resolution. And then I will just go through each one and name the address of the location of the junk vehicles just to move us along.
Okay, yes, sir.
So again, I mentioned resolutions 2023-116, and it's a resolution declaring motor vehicles in Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, junk vehicles and providing for their removal pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 505.871. In Resolution 116, there are junk vehicles located at 1654 Eastbrook Drive South, 1716 Marsdale Avenue, 1928 Marsdale Avenue, 1646 Frank Road, 1650 Frank Road, 1717 Eastbrook Drive South, 1589 Harrisburg Pike, 1593 Harrisburg Pike, 1652 Marsdale Avenue, and 2024 Frank Road. And what these resolutions pertain to, these are motor vehicles that are, the models are 3 years or older, apparently inoperable and extensively damaged, which constitute a junk vehicle pursuant to the Ohio Revised Code section 505.871 and 505.173. So the owner of the property that the motor vehicle, junk motor vehicle, is located on, after they are notified, has 14 days to remove the junk vehicle, or the township has the ability to intercede and have the vehicle removed by a contractor that the township uses.
With hearing these resolutions set before this board on this day, if there's no further questions, I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Ma'am, when you're ready, call the roll.
Robin, I actually have one more.
Oh, I apologize.
Can I slide one more in? Okay.
Sure, do we need to give it a number?
Yes, I have one more that's 2023-127. It falls under the junk vehicle resolution. It's a vehicle located at 1980 Frank Road. And again, it's under section 505.871 of the Ohio Revised Code.
And here in such addition to it, I would ask for a second for all.
Second.
No further discussion. I would just ask for the roll call.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And Jim's excused. Thank you.
You have one for each, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, sir.
We don't sign off on
it.
They all travel down the
date.
Okay.
It just so happened. I think it was a good thank you on behalf of the police and as well as Nicole there that the area we started in, I don't know if that was planned or what,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I think it was a good piece of luck because those Frank Road vehicles, John, are in the proximity of all those old apartments. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you tend to pile up on some of those places on junk vehicles.
I'm just so glad that we're able to.
Whoever the planning was on that thing, I think that was a real good
Steve, out of your first round that you did, with
yes.
when you know, the presentation you gave?
Yes.
How has that moved? Just me asking.
It's done very well. One, with Byron and his staff's help, which I appreciate, we've addressed every issue from the past. We've actually had a couple property owners, junk vehicle owners, come in and talk to us about, one, they will move the vehicle because it is operable and they are working on it. But for the most part, we have had cooperation with the police and Capital Towing.
Mm-hmm.
They've come in and towed vehicles. And we really have not had any negative feedback.
I'm just thinking good for the notes. For the minutes so people read and see that we're adding another bundle. How did the first bundle go?
Yes.
You know, when we
did
the first
bundle.
So they can see that we're not getting a lot of negativity.
That's right. My neighborhood, pretty much. That's what I'm saying. I want to make
Thanks,
sure
Jeff.
There's
all
no
right.
pre-planning on that. But with all those taken out of that area, yeah, you know, you would think that I would have had some grumbling and groaning. Now, it tells me, and I think a lot of the I've kind of kept in tune with them a little bit during this, that, and the other, but I think Kidwell has been one of the officers that has kind of got involved in this.
That's
or for some reason, the chief has wanted him involved.
And he can also point out certain ones. So
and the job that she's done on it, I think it saved me a world of trouble, and you probably as well.
Well,
Steve,
what we did
if
we've is,
only had one guy come back and say, hey, you know, let's work this out to get our car back.
Right. What we've done is...
I think it's been a huge success, in my opinion.
Well, people did what they did is because we didn't
anything. Well, you take the amount that we just read off. Mm-hmm. Now, those are done. they're confiscated and towed in and stuff. So you think about how many cars we have, there are 8 or 10, something like
that. Well, actually, this is a resolution to move forward on those.
Yes.
So, you know, that's getting a lot of junk out of neighborhoods. I remember your grand, I guess that's your grandmother down there.
Reaver?
Yeah.
Oh, the house that was 2 doors down was awful.
And it was awful. And I've worked for
My mom petitioned a lot.
And never
finally
could
got it
actually
up.
Get first cleaned up.
Oh, it was
up.
So bad. And she sits like far back from the house.
This is
and she's
cleaned
on her
up.
Porch.
That's
it was right there.
So, Mr. Mazur, on
everything,
and it was the property's money back, where we have the trucking company using it as a drop location, is that one that's on our radar?
No,
as well?
We're not. What we're doing is we're doing this very organized, where we are taking sections of the
township at a time.
One section at a time.
Okay.
And then just moving
forward.
Around.
You have to have a systematic way of doing it, and I appreciate that, sir.
And I do. I give Nicole credit. We sat down with a map, and we just sectioned out.
I've done an excellent job.
Just keep moving forward.
Okay.
That way, it's not all. It's organized,
yes.
And there's a reason and a foundation why we are doing this. But the great thing is, we have not had any negative pushback.
Okay, so sir, the floor is still yours.
One more, Chairman. I have Resolution 2023-128, and it's a resolution authorizing the Board of Trustees to accept a donated vehicle for the Franklin Township Police Department. Whereas the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, has adopted a resolution pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 505.10, authorizing the acceptance of a donated 2004 Subaru Forester from Complete Towing and Recovery for the Franklin Township Police Department.
I'd ask for a second.
Oh, sorry for that.
And ma'am, when you're ready for roll call, please.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And Jim is excused.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. So, moving on, I do not have anything. Mr. Leeser is excused. Mr. Horn, do you have anything?
No, just to make a statement, since the program has started on these, I've started been more aware of when I'm out and everything, and going to areas such as like yesterday. I made a pretty good little tour down through Richter Road, Hart Road, places like that, where it notoriously has a lot of cars and stuff. And I made mention to Nicole yesterday that they needed to take a look at that pretty quick. So I'm going to be doing as much of that. And then, of course, the other thing is that I'm going to make known our general meeting. We're having our general meeting next week on
that's Thursday. 13th,
next
yes.
Thursday, okay.
Yeah.
Is
that right?
13th. We have everything in line for Westland Mall now.
Okay.
It's good to go.
Okay.
And other than that, that's about all I have.
Okay.
Right, and I'm glad to have Lindsay. Welcome.
Welcome to your first meeting. That's
has
been
it
great.
Looked, pretty complicated to you, or are you kind of been able to soak it up a bit, or?
I'm soaking it up.
Okay. It's not sounding like Greek to you, anyway. It's just,
not completely.
It really is a lot. You've got, you really stop and think about it. You've got.
Take some time for anyone.
Yeah, you've got those three departments there and everything, and that's a pretty good little chore in itself.
Oh, yeah, the payroll.
You know, if you had just one, we just run the fire department.
Right.
Think about how much easier the job would be.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so
I guess you look at it another way, most of it, I guess, is you learn to do one big mess of it, then it all kind of starts falling in place, I guess, after a while, Dr. Robin. That's where you kind of found it, or?
Well, each department's handled differently.
Yeah,
because each collective bargaining agreement expects different things to happen.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to be somewhat knowledgeable of the collective bargaining agreements, and so she will eventually get into those. It's part of her reading pleasure that she has.
Right.
I've given her lots and lots of reading material.
Yeah.
And that helps when you have the familiarity with the collective bargaining agreements.
Right.
And if they're in negotiations or they go to change something, it's important fiscal knows what those changes are because it can impact payroll.
Yeah.
Well, I will now officially make us adjourn. It is now 10:40, and I thank everybody for their time.
Right. Okay.